Welcome back, everyone. My name is Kaz.
This is MediBot.
And this is episode 76? 77? I looked it up, and I even failed. Episode 77 of the Skulls Cast, where we're looking at the Sultai Brood.
Wow. Super Brood.
Super Brood.
From Cons of Tokyo.
Yes, the full 2015 Magic the Gathering expansion 14. Set. Oh yeah, it's M15. It's 2014. This year.
Although the story doesn't involve time travel.
Oh man, I really hope we're not back here in the exact same place next year.
I can't imagine anything worse. Anyway, let's. The Sultai Brood is the black, green, and blue wedge. They're kind of rude and mean a lot.
They got snakes and crocodiles.
They got snakes and crocodiles. The snakes are really just jokes, and the crocodiles are actually pretty honest.
Crocodiles are on the level.
Crocodiles are as they seem. So let's start things off with, of course, each team getting its land and Monarch. In this case, their land is the Opulent Palace. And the Monarch is the Sultai Banner.
These serve to characterize the brood, I suppose, as the treasure havers.
Yes, they love treasure.
Yeah.
They love money. They love gold.
Yeah, that's something that, like, flat-out concupiscence hasn't existed in Magic since, what, 1990? Like, you have Orzhov.
Yeah.
Who, I said 1990, but that Magic didn't exist then. Like, try 95 okay. or so. Whenever they printed Greed,
yes.
straight up, like,
Greed.
And
the guy.
Yeah,
like,
and he's, like, eating the money.
Eating the money.
It's pretty good, pretty good piece of artwork. What am I talking about?
Orzhov,
right. Because, yeah, they're, like, Church of Deals, and they have tithes, but that's... It's a different take on it than this.
Yeah, that's more the organized crime.
Right. Where these guys are just plain rich. They're treasure hunters. There's someone at the top, and then everyone just sort of serves him or her or it. And that leads us to Opulent Palace and the Sultai Banner having just like a pot of gold chained to it.
Yeah, have an extra one lying around.
Yeah, may as well. I mean, if you're... So these... That's what you're in for. You get riches.
Don't you want to be a rich wizard?
I mean, if
Why
you
not play Sultai,
if you're gonna die, you may as well die rich.
All right. Well, our first card is Smoke Teller, one in a green for a 2/2 human shaman. Pay one in a blue to look at target face down creature.
So what does he tell the smoke to do?
I think that no matter what he tells the smoke to do is, and the smoke replies back, says, "Hey, don't call me smoke."
Jeez. You know, this looks like an incomplete cycle. Because we had the Mardu Horde guys. It was like a white guy with a red activation, a white guy with a black activation.
Mm.
Well, here's a green guy with a blue activation.
Yeah.
So there should be a green guy with a black activation.
Maybe there will be.
Also at common.
This guy is fine. He's a bear with an ability tacked on.
Yeah, no, I like the guy just fine.
Yeah.
It's not, like, amazing.
No, but...
He's solid.
You want, like, a bear in your deck.
I still like bears.
All right, next up is Scout the Borders. 2 and a green for a sorcery. Reveal the top 5 cards of your library. You may put a creature or land card from among them into your hand. Put the rest into your graveyard.
Yeah, the text gets a little hard to read with the intensity of some of these watermarks.
Mm.
That's something I'll criticize. As this stands, this is also awful. We used to have this exact text on an instant for 2 mana called Grizzly Salvage. And that was good. 2 mana instant... Get a guy, fix a land, they would feed your graveyard. The Grizzly Salvage was really, really good. I played Golgari when we were wizards in Ravnica, And I liked it. I always wanted a Grizzly Salvage. I was always sad when I couldn't get my hands on it. I don't really see myself wanting to pay more to essentially do less. There aren't as great graveyard interactions. Well, I mean, the Mardu guy, he like leaps out of the grave.
We'll
the
see.
Raid.
Maybe we'll find a good graveyard interaction.
I don't think so, but anyway. Garbage card. Moving on.
Next up, Sagu Archer, 4 and a green for a 2/5 Naga Archer with reach, and Morph for 4 and a green. So Naga's this new creature type because we couldn't just call snake people snake.
Anymore?
Like, back in Kamigawa, we had...
we had the Orochi.
We had the Orochi, and on their creature type line, it said snake.
It had snake. They did that because they didn't want to have elves in their Japan land thing, and so they needed a new tribe, essentially, for green small guys. And so they had snakes. I don't know why they're Naga here. There's really no reason for it.
It doesn't really add up.
Moreover, this guy looks super pathetic next to... what was the Theros monster? Mosler. We called him Mosler because of that dumb old movie, B-movie, that had Mosler in it. Snake Buddy. Man, I'm just
drawing
blank on
that. What did the one from Theros do?
It was 5 mana for a 4/5 with reach, and then it would monstrosity for, like, even more huge. The thing was good.
Like Arbor Colossus?
No, it wasn't. No. Well, Arbor Colossus was like the huge, huge version of that. But this was a common.
Nessian Asp. Yeah. Nessian Asp was what you wanted when you were the green monstrosity deck. To slam those down starting turn 5.
First pick that guy.
Watch your opponent just get devoured by snakes.
Right. Your Sagu Archer is something less than that.
Yeah.
I mean, we played... Hedron Drake or like Sky Hedron Drake, something like that, in Zendikar, which was a blue and a 4 for a 2/5 flying.
Yeah.
And he was really good because he fit the format. I don't know if Sagu Archer fits the format. I mean, it blocks morphs. Is a morph
blocks morphs.
Oh, that's that thing that people were telling me.
Yeah.
That the morph is a green and 4.
Yes.
So at 5 mana, it is allowed to beat other morphs.
Yes. At the 5 mana mark, in morph versus morph combat, if your opponent has 5 mana open, they are at that point allowed to just beat you.
Mm-hmm.
I think at rare or mythic, there are some exceptions to that where they don't need that much mana.
I figured it was something like that.
But I could be wrong about that. But definitely, at common and uncommon, they need 5 mana for the clean win.
Okay. Well, I'm willing to give Sagu Archer a pass this time. I don't think it's a horrible card. It's just not a very strong
one. It's not thrilling.
Nah.
I'm not excited for it. Something that does make me... is a little more thrilling. Does make me... is a little more...
Does,
what's a
yes.
sentence, Cass?
I don't know.
Hooting Mandrills. 5 and a green for a 4/4 ape with trample and delve.
Yep.
Delve is the returning keyword that belongs to the Sultai brood. And what delve means is that each card that you exile from your graveyard while casting this spell counts for 1 generic mana towards paying the cost of the spell.
Yep.
So I love this guy. Holy crap. If you delve out 1 card, 4/4 trample for 5, that's, like, fine.
That's pretty
baseline.
That's
completely
baseline.
Fine. If you're playing this guy for, like, 4 or 3, then you simply apes.
You hoot.
You hoot and you holler because you've
good.
Got a pretty beefy creature for your opponent to solve.
Man, this guy would have been really good in Innistrad. As it stands, I don't know if we have, like, good grave enablers.
Play cards, make trades.
Just
play the game of magic.
You're not getting a 3 mana ape that way.
Scout your borders. You
know, sacrifice your Sultai banner. Ooh,
yeah,
hey.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's actually something. Okay, so we'll keep a lookout for like tiny self-sacrificing artifacts. But anyway, no, the Hooting Mandrills are great.
I think it's pretty strong in limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Because
you'll be getting this cheap 4/4, and if your deck is chock full of those, what is your opponent ever going to do?
Yeah.
Then again, like, the second Delve card is necessarily worse than the first.
Yeah, with Delve, you need to be careful because they sort of are fighting over the same resource. So you don't want too many Delve cards, but a deck with some Delve cards will generally be stronger than a similar deck without any.
Yeah.
Because if you're just not using that resource, then the person who is has an advantage. And this is something I'd be happy to use that resource on. It's just
four more apes. I dig.
All right. Next up is Sultai Flare, 3 and a green for a 3/4 Naga Shaman. Whenever a creature you control with toughness 4 or greater dies, you gain 4 life.
Okay, so a 4/3/4 with no text. Got it.
Passable.
That's
better
than
Hill Giant.
That's better than Hill Giant. You know what? You get a pass, Mr. Sultai Flare.
You pass the
you
vanilla
know what?
Test.
Wait, whenever a creature you control. Yeah, he counts himself.
Yeah, so.
How about
like
that?
3/4 when I die, gain 4?
No, that's dang decent.
Yeah.
That's about all he'll ever do, though.
Not the backbone of any deck, most likely.
I wish he was a little better than that,
filler.
Just so he could have some of the uncommon build around me. Guys, he's no
doing that.
Wow, I can't remember any Magic cards or even numbers today. You remember the one from Innistrad, the 2/2 flying vampire guy who's like, when a thing dies, drain 1 life.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, that guy was built around me. That guy was pretty amazing.
Not Blood Artist, he was the little guy that actually
Falcon
made
Rod,
it in standard.
Yeah. Blood Artist was tiny. This guy was a 4/2
Falcon Wrath Noble?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had some, like, place name in his name, anyway. Yeah, Sultai Flare ain't that.
Nah.
But he's fine.
Completely adequate creature. If people give you crap for playing this, they're fools. Next up is something that is even better than Sultai Flare. Become Immense. 5 and a green for an instant Delve. And target creature gets +6/+6 until end of turn.
Alright, so at 4 mana, we can have Might of Oaks, which is +7/+7.
Yes.
So 3 mana for this is pretty great. And you can Delve 2 cards.
That would be 4 mana.
Be 4. Okay.
Which
so
is still alright on an uncommon.
Yeah. Delve 3, pay 3. Sounds like about the right place for this.
That's usually where you want to be.
Honestly, this is a better Delve than Hooting Mandrills. I think Hooting Mandrills is the better card. But I say that this is a better Delve because that's the way I picture myself using Delve. As like, okay, I have this one card and I get to just whenever I can flush all of my graveyard into it. To be the super surprise. To be the, oh no, this is a double giant growth somehow.
Yeah, off of,
how did it even
like
happen?
A single forest.
I didn't even notice that his Sultai banner was untapped. Oh god. But that's the way that I would want to use a Delve card. It's not like, or rather, you get a lot more freedom in when you have to play it and are able to just flush resources in when you need it that one time. It's a nod towards efficiency. I guess in that sense, I want Hooting Mandrills to have Flash, and then we'd just have the perfect common.
Hooting Mandrills with Flash, I would first pick that every time. And just
be,
I would just...
It'd be so good.
I'd play it, like, for 6. 4/4 Trample Flash for 6, that's...
I mean,
yeah.
We'd be like, yeah, surprise, apes. And then I would love it a lot. Become Immense is just fine. I wouldn't want a lot of it.
Yeah. But it's a good surprise finish. It's a good surprise.
Yeah.
You know, not just because it's an instant, but because it uses
because your opponent
mana.
Doesn't know how much it costs.
Yeah. If someone has 1 forest untapped and 6 cards in their graveyard, are they representing Become Immense? Alright, next up. Something a little slower than Become Immense is Meandering Tower Shell. 3 and 2 green mana for a 5/9 turtle with Island Walk. And whenever Meandering Tower Shell attacks, exile it. Return it to the battlefield under your control, tapped and attacking at the beginning of the Declare Attacker step on your next turn.
This card pisses me off.
I'm not a big fan. Why does this piss you off?
This card pisses me off because this is what current Guard Magic the Gathering designers think of as a card that tells a story. Okay. The problem that I have with that method is that I think every card should be able to tell a story. You know, from what it does, from the art, from the flavor text, from the combination of all of these, you should get a sense of a personality almost from any given card, even the insignificant ones, even the common ones. This is their attempt to do that with a card. They have sacrificed absolutely everything else about what makes a card in order to do this, and we end up with something that makes no goddamn sense. If you forget about flavor for a minute, nothing on this card reads in any way sensically to the game of Magic. Why does it have Island Walk? What's the deal with it being 5/9 for 5? We haven't really seen that. Okay, does he have some kind of evasion ability? Well, okay, Island Walk isn't really evasion. Can he block multiple guys? I mean, that's a reason to have a big guy. He can't. Does he have a cool trick? Yeah, he attacks half the time.
You tell him to attack, he goes to the grocery store, and then comes back on your next turn to attack.
It's a 5-mana, 2.5/9 creature. That's what, in effect, he is.
Yeah.
He's this, like, huge vanilla thing.
Island Walk is a very sort of binary, haha, gotcha blue player sort of deal, which in Limited is sort of a not really interesting.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's actually going to be afraid of this killing
him. No, because like you said, it's a 2.5 power creature.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're throwing this down at me on turn 5, it's hitting me on turn 7. Because it attacks, quotes, on 6 and then gets through on 7. Mm-hmm. And like also because it attacks half the time, chumping it with like some early game now irrelevant creature starts to sound really good.
Yeah, suppose you have like the ability to make one chump blocker a turn. You're ahead of the curve
ahead of this.
What the hell?
Of Dirtle the Turtle.
It's so awful. There's no reason for it to also be awful, is what I'm driving at.
Right.
You can
what if it were 9/9?
Flavorful cards that are also good. Let's see, a 4.5 power creature for 5. It still sounds kind of underwhelming.
Well, 4.5/9, Island Walk.
That's still kind of bad. I guess
fun
just
fact,
for the sake
though,
of having, like,
a fun fact, due to the way this card works, if you steal it with a threaten or similar effect and then attack, it will be you'll attack with it, it'll get exiled, then it will come back on your next turn, tapped and attacking, under your control, and you get to keep the turtle forever.
You do. So he even has an extra drawback.
Yeah. Red gets to snatch it away.
Get
out,
Turtle. I want to stop. This card is horrible.
All right, well, maybe the next one will be less horrible. Hooded Hydra. Double green and X for a 0/0 Snake Hydra. Hooded Hydra. Snake Hydra seems a little redundant, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I thought... Anyway, Hooded Hydra enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. When Hooded Hydra dies, put a 1/1 green snake creature token onto the battlefield for each +1/+1 counter on it. Morph for 3 and double green. As Hooded Hydra is turned face up, put 5 +1/+1 counters on it.
This card is quite strong.
This is pretty strong. You know, that whole 0/0 enters counters, that's, you know, the Hydra identity. We expect
that.
You can have it be a 5-mana 5/5, so you save 2 mana if you play the morph route, not to mention being surprised my morph is a 5/5.
Right, also I block. I trade with your huge man. I get snakes.
Yeah.
Wah!
guy who does something good when this is...
It's a pretty valuable creature.
Yes.
It resists many attempts to murder it. Also... Nope, never mind. That interaction will not happen. I won't even mention it.
If you get more counters on it, you'll get more snakes.
Yeah, that one... That there are always to put counters on creatures. Does so work.
Going all in on the Hydra is...
Yeah,
not the worst of plans.
He kind of lets you spend as much mana on as you want on him.
Right.
Both in terms of, like... I don't think you're casting him for X equals 1 on 3.
Right.
You're morphing him. You would never cast him at 2, because he'd just die. And that's silly. I mean...
Barring unusual
things. Barring something crazy unusual, you would not cast him on 2. At 3, you want to morph him, really.
Yeah.
Maybe... At 4, you could justify having like a 2/2 that makes tokens. Yeah. Probably you're waiting just so you get a bigger guy.
Yeah.
And in later turns, you just straight up, okay, all of my mana into the largest possible dude, deal with it.
Right.
And that's something that Hydras have always been good at.
Probably fair at that rate. Yeah. Because I do not want to face too many of these in a draft.
Jeez. I don't see him leaving limited. But he owns seems unlikely. There.
I mean, Mistcutter Hydra got out because of haste and per blue.
Yeah.
Does it also have can't be countered? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was really doing a good job of being a green creature that beats the crap out of the blue wizard. Sorry, Meandering Tower Shell. You don't. But yeah, this guy is definitely a nightmare in limited. Very first pickable. Very good. Speaking of. Cards that are very strong, that people like a lot. Let's look at our next card, which is Treasure Cruise. 7 and a blue for a sorcery with Delve. Draw 3 cards.
Now this is a story that I like. The story is, you go on a treasure cruise! I love it!
Gold! Someone died, and now I have his money! He doesn't need it. Not at the bottom of the lake.
I guess that's how they make their money, is dredging up things from whatever fell in the river.
This card has already seen constructed play.
No kidding.
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Anything that has the text, draw 3 cards on it, does have a shot. We're talking like Arcanus the Omnipotent, Hatching Plans...
Standstill.
Standstill definitely has the text that says draw 3 cards. There's just something about that level of drawing and... I mean, even, okay, obvious comparison, Concentrate. Blue 2, sorcery, draw 3 cards.
Yeah, so 4 mana.
That's our
slightly
like,
heavier blue commitment, but 4
right,
mana.
That's our baseline for that. Got color shifted to harmonize when Planar Chaos happened. How much do we have to spend to get a Concentrate out of our Treasure Cruise?
You need to get rid of 4 cards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to be hard at the point where you really want to reload.
Yeah. And it might be even better than that.
Yes.
Which just gets nuts.
If you delve the full 7, you...
Yeah!
You are a rich wizard indeed. Enjoy your sorcery speed, Ancestral Recall, I guess.
Moreover, yeah, you get to dredge for exactly... delve for exactly as many cards as would leave you enough mana to cast the thing that you want to.
Right.
You know, so if I need to leave 5 mana up, and I have 7 total, I can go ahead and throw 2 into this rather than getting rid of all my cards in case, like, I need a later delve or something.
Right. Other delve cards.
Yeah, so that's why this is such a good delve... And kind of a busted card.
it's certainly powerful. You know, the pros have taken little time in figuring that out. But it's like you said, you know, a card says draw 3 cards on it. It has to be really bad in a lot of other respects to not be at least playable-looking card.
Mm-hmm.
As far as its use in limited, 1 or 2 couldn't hurt.
Yeah, I'd take 1. Like, I'd be the biggest deck in the world if I could sport 2 of these things. Like, if you get the best of the set's removal, and you're just blue-green, I guess. Probably you're blue-green at that point, because the only enabler we've seen is green.
Mm.
And that lets you straddle 2 wedges, including the one that we haven't done yet. Yeah. I would do two.
Treasure Cruise.
Treasure Cruise.
Money, gold, violence.
I love everything about that card.
Next up is Taigam Scheming. One in a blue for a sorcery. Look at the top five cards of your library. Put any number of them into your graveyard and the rest back on top of your library in any order.
This is weird. I didn't even see this before now.
This card asks an interesting question. No, it's not merely the index. Look at the top five. Put them back in any order. You also have the choice to just toss them out. So in that sense, there's Delve Enabling is a little
baked into it.
That's
really all this is ever doing. I wouldn't cast it without any Delve.
I'd probably want some Delve in my deck as well. Here's the sort of best case scenario I'm envisioning. You're mid to late game, and you're about even. You Taigam Scheming to make sure you don't have any dead draws coming up.
Yeah, except for this one. You know, you pay a dead draw
to maybe get those two lands you don't need into your graveyard.
That's not bad. It puts itself in the grave.
Yeah.
That's why I say it's just a Delve thing. Because
definitely, in a deck without Delve, I'm not running this.
Right, at the point where you're casting a mana ritual.
That's true.
You know?
This can also be a one in a blue, add six to your mana pool.
Yeah. For Treasure Cruise. So that's the only circumstance I see myself using this. It's really, really marginal.
Decide to go nuts on Delve for that. Other than that, it's this minor sort of fixing. It's interesting. I feel like this is an interesting code. I like the code. But it's not really powerful.
Man, I wish it said draw a card. That would be too good.
That would be powerful if it's just tacked that on.
I mean, think of the Kamigawa spells.
We might have to up it to three if it did that.
So that we compare it to Divination. I guess that it's like superior selection for that. I would want it to cantrip. But anyway.
Next up is Set Adrift, 5 and a blue for a sorcery with Delve. Put target non-land permanent on top of its owner's library.
Yes.
Away it goes.
Onto totally
the
rest.
You
be ups the river. I like this card.
I do too, because I like casting Griptide, because I am the Magic player who wins when my opponent feels bad about playing the game of Magic.
If anything, this might be better than Griptide. For being more expensive, just because you necessarily like nab a bigger guy with it, so it's no longer in your like opening hand considerations. You're like, okay, this is my late game spell.
At the same time, it could end up pretty cheap.
Yeah,
you know, minor, I guess, Spalt tactical, or maybe what's the mid word? What's after Spalt?
I forget. Advanced.
It's like, what?
Yeah, we just do advanced.
Spalt advanced and
famous.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like with Delve, it being cheap isn't just like, okay, I play it, you know, on an earlier turn. It's also I'm still playing it late for cheap, so I get to do another thing during my turn.
There are plenty of activations running around. It could just be like turning up a morph, you know, whatever.
So I definitely feel good about this card. This is back in time you go. Next up is Keru Spell Snatcher. 3 and a blue for a 3/3 Naga Wizard. Morph for 4 and double blue. When Keru Spell Snatcher is turned face up, counter target spell. If that spell is countered this way, exile it instead of putting it into its owner's graveyard. You may cast that card without paying its mana cost for as long as it remains exiled.
Yeah, but that's never happening. A 6-mana counterspell?
A 6-mana counterspell that lets you keep it as long as you want to until you want to deploy it. That's the thing. It's not just a like spelljack. It's in my pocket and I get it at the perfect time. Does pass the vanilla test as a 4-mana 3/3.
Right. Eh, I guess 4-mana 3/3 with minor upside. Yes, I realize this is a powerful effect. You can't have too much of this. It needs to be rare. Again, 6-mana is a lot. At 6-mana, we start having, like, Titans. This is no Titan.
No.
And it's not leaving limited. Where it is going to be the rudest surprise. Be,
like, doctor prescribing you 500 cc's of feel bads as your huge bomb gets snatched.
Better pucker up for that.
Yikes.
Or have, like, a token strategy, I guess. I'm convinced, man, the best of all decks is the one that just makes a bunch of 3/3s.
Mm.
Oh, this is a 3/3.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, moving on.
Next up is Dig Through Time. 6 and double blue for an instant with Delve. Look at the top 7 cards of your library. Put 2 of them into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order.
So I guess they couldn't have it, like, feed itself? Like, why does it put it on... In this set, in the very wedge that has Delve, this card, which is a near reprint of another card called Ancestral Memories,
oh, yes,
which does fill the yard, this does not fill the yard.
I always remember that card because I like the flavor text on it.
What's the flavor text on it?
Flavor text on it is actually a quotation from Through the Looking Glass.
Oh, no wonder you like
it. So the Red Queen, I believe, speaking to Alice, telling her... It's a poor sort of memory that only works backwards.
Right.
This does seem... This is... digging 7 deep is a deep sort of dig.
It is.
I don't know if it's a temporal sort of dig, but it's a deep sort of dig.
8 mana for that is clearly too much.
Well,
2 mana is clearly too little. And then we have this wiggle room in between.
How much will it cost?
I don't know.
Fabulous question.
Honestly, I like Treasure Cruise more than this. I guess this is an instant. Okay.
Yes.
I instantly zip and look and get 2 cards. I honestly don't think that limited formats have, like, enough power in total in your deck to warrant that kind of thing.
In limited, this is a little less thrilling. I have been hearing rumors among the sea cucumbers that people are trying this out in Legacy.
I've heard of that too. Legacy is the format with the most wastelands. And so, like, fetch, waste. You know, they've had Tombstalker since forever.
Yeah. We love Tombstalker.
Yeah. So there are decks that already sort of have a shell to be able to use that.
And in a just higher power format, digging and stuff like
that is
just better.
Once you're into that, then yes, looking through that many cards and drawing your best 2 in the top 7 is super. It's great. Man.
Not really. I'd let it slide.
I can't imagine casting that somewhere else.
I don't think I'd want to do that. Next up. Getting done with the blue from the Sultai Brood onto the black. We have Sultai Scavenger, 5 and a black for a 3/3 bird warrior with delve and flying.
Solid. I like
this. This seems completely fine. Same CMC as the Mandrills. Lose a power toughness, get evasion.
Right. So, what do we have? Jagwasp Swarm. That's sort of like this.
Mm.
And that was just, what, 4-mana 3/2 flying in black?
That sounds about right.
But anyway, like, black can have Snapping Drake, is what I learned from that. And, you know, shave 2 off of Sultai Scavenger, and you have basically that. You could Delve for 2 decently, easily. I think that's
flying
happening.
Hill Giant is A-okay in my book.
Then it could even be better than that.
Then it can get spicy.
I'm pleased with that.
Yeah.
Sultai Scavenger is quite
completely
good.
Adequate. You know, he's common.
Yeah, you don't need to be in Sultai to do this guy. He might even be better outside of it.
And again, you don't want to overload on Delve.
Right.
So any deck that includes green, blue, or black probably wants to include some Delve cards.
I imagine so.
So expect to get poached if you're all in on Sultai. Next up is Sidisi's Pet, which is 3 and a black for a 1/4 zombie ape with lifelink. and morph for one and a black.
AC/DC.
No, oh no!
It's AC/DC's bad, yeah.
Now I need an alter. It has to look like Wham now. Anyway, your freaking vampire ape.
I guess. I don't think I would pay 4 mana for a 1/4 lifelinker.
No.
That's way too expensive for that.
Would you pay 3 and then 2?
Maybe. I would maybe do that. I think this guy is really not great.
Doesn't seem very strong.
I would strongly consider leaving him as a morph. I need a hill giant, damn it.
Morph creatures that you don't just want to unmorph as soon as possible, either for an effect or because their stats change in a more meaningful way. You know, morph shouldn't just be upgrade, my guy.
Yeah, I guess.
Alright.
Still, he couldn't be a 2/4.
No, because then he'd have to morph for 5.
He would beat morphs. Because
we can't have him... Because if he morphed for just 2 as a 2/4, it would be one of the best cards in the set.
It would. Well, okay, how about this? What if he was a horn turtle? What if he costed 3 for a 1/4?
Like, base cost 3?
Yeah.
So the question is, do I want a 2/2 or a 1/4 lifelink?
Yeah. I would like that a lot question. More. That is a question. It's not like...
There are cases in which I would want both, you know.
Yeah, whereas...
Either is a valid choice in the right situation.
Paying full price for this guy is all that
one
good.
1/4 beats the crap out of pikers, 2/2 looks good against other 2/2s. Assuming I'm not just trying to wall up. Next up is Shambling Attendants. 7 and a black for a 3/5 zombie with Delve and Death Touch.
This guy also looks pretty good. I'm poaching him.
The 5 mana 3/5 you have established as the perfect creature?
That is a perfect creature.
There are many perfect creatures.
It cannot be defeated by any sorcery.
5 mana 3/5. This starts at 8, so delving for 3 gets us to 5 mana 3/5 Death Touch.
Mm-hmm.
Does have Death Touch. Not sure how relevant that ends up being.
The death touch part of it? Maybe not so much.
It's a
stronger rattlesnake than just a plain old 3/5.
Although, I get the feeling that there are a lot of 4/4s flying around.
Hmm.
I think in the team we haven't looked at yet.
Well, he deals with that.
And he beats the heck out of those.
He does. The 4/4 that we've seen is Hooting Mandrills. So.
Yeah.
So really it we're like... Those. We're missing a blue guy? Man, they
like
probably...
Like a blue delve guy.
Right. They probably really wanted Sultai Scavenger to be blue, and then they're like, nah. Blue already has things.
Blue got the treasure cruise.
Yeah.
That draws guys, therefore.
Because, I mean, look at the common stats, delve, single keyword.
Yeah, French vanilla, delve.
Yeah.
At, like, adequate numbers. All of them are good, though.
Just pick up a few of them.
All right, next up is Keru Dreadmaw, 4 and a black for a 4/4 zombie crocodile with Defender. 1 and a green and sacrifice another creature. You gain life equal to the sacrificed creature's toughness. So here's your crocodile pit.
It is. It's pretty weird.
It is weird. You can only throw your own guys into the crocodile pit.
I guess so.
Unless someone's coming at you, in which case you lead them towards the pit. There's a sack outlet.
There are a lot of good sack outlets kicking around. And by good, I mean, like, act whenever are actually sack outlets appear at common.
Mm.
So, yes, I understand that much. We're not gonna see any primo, like, enchantment-style removal. Basically because of that. And if there is, then it's going to look awful. Like, if they print Claustrophobia or whatever in the next set, then it'll be like, well, sorry, too many good sack
outlets. Into the crocodiles!
Yep.
Alright. Defender, though.
Yeah, that makes me not want to ever play this guy.
It's like... what if he was just 4 mana?
That'd look a lot better. You know, that starts to sound like Guildgate Man.
Yeah, Ogre Gatecrasher.
Ogre Gatecrasher, holy crap.
Who beat the stuffing out of me on multiple occasions.
It was a 4-mana 4/4. Yeah. I mean, he had Defender, but he could lose it.
Yeah. This one keeps Defender, but is a sac outlet, so that's a useful thing.
It's bigger. Maybe it just gains you 4 life.
Maybe it does. Next up is Ruthless Ripper. Single black mana for a 1/1 human assassin with Death Touch. Morph. The morph cost is reveal a black card in your hand, and when Ruthless Ripper is turned face up, target player loses 2 life.
Well, it is a pretty neat little package. This is part of the overarching cycle of morphs that morph. Reveal a card.
Starts at life as Typhoid Rats.
You know what? That's okay.
I played that.
Yeah, and Typhoid Rats is alright.
Yeah, this can do other things. This, if you don't want a 1/1 Death Touch, can just be a 2/2.
It was the green one called that we were talking about the other day. Deadly Scorpion? No. Sedge Scorpion. Ah! Thakamides.
Killed by a scorpion.
Yeah, so Ruthless Ripper is like that, but better. So sure, you get my vote, lady. With the ripping...
Look at her ripping implement. Her ripping implement is front and center in this arc.
And also, like the rest of the cycle... They actually get the morph.
Oh, she has the swirlies.
Yeah, the morph
fire. She's busted out of the swirlies to rip you up.
Mm-hmm.
Rip in peace. Next up is... Speaking of ripping in peace, next up is Murderous Cut. 4 and a black for an instant with Delve. Destroy target creature.
Primo! A+. Would cast again. Would cast at full mana. Don't even care.
Like, This is your primo uncommon limited removal.
Yeah.
This is a really good removal spell.
Easy first pick. I'd pick it.
Not even a strong color commitment?
No. I mean it. I would pay 5 mana for this spell.
Yeah.
And the fact that it has Delve just makes it better.
5 mana instant destroy target creature is completely... That does its job, and it does its job every day of the week.
There's no real substitute for the text destroy target creature. Just ripping the heart out of something. Like, okay.
Almost nothing more to say. It's good
often,
in such a direct way.
Right. Often we get something to the tune of a 5 mana, like black 3 sorcery, destroy target creature, minor upside. Mm. That happens all over the place.
Yeah.
This is upside of it's cheaper, easier to cast, and faster.
Yes. Pretty good upsides. All right. Next up is Keru Bloodsucker. 2 and a black for a 2/2 vampire. Whenever a creature you control with toughness 4 or greater dies, each opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. 2 and a black, sacrifice another creature, put a +1/+1 counter on Keru Bloodsucker.
I think that this guy and some of the others that we've seen, the crocodile and the naga person, are part of like a leftover theme that they just sort of stuck with.
Of 4 toughness.
Like 4 toughness
hearing
compared
about
to the teamer's 4 power that we haven't looked at yet. That makes this guy and those other guys read really strangely.
Mm.
So this guy is needlessly complex at this point, and I don't like that.
It's true. Maybe that's why AC/DC's ape is the way it is.
It's just a 4 toughness guy.
It's because it is a 4 toughness creature. Thinking back, sack your ape to this guy starts to feel all right.
I guess. Maybe gaining life is being rich. Maybe drawing cards is being rich.
Yeah. Maybe having money is being rich, Cass.
Okay, fine.
Alright.
As far as how the numbers actually shake out, I guess this is our build around me uncommon guy.
Yeah.
Draining 2 life is pretty serious.
It is.
It does say each opponent.
Yeah,
God.
So watch out to HG players. This will kill you pretty fast in 2HG, less so in 1v1. No evasion.
He's getting bigger as he goes.
Passes the vanilla test, though.
I think so.
So, start there.
Starts at decent, like the floor of decent, anyway.
Yeah. All right, next up is Dead Drop.
Nuktats.
9 and a black for a sorcery with Delve. Target player sacrifices two creatures.
Yeah, what's it like to be rich?
How does it feel to be rich and dead?
No one is ever casting this for 10 mana.
No. But, like, at 5, double edict for 5 is, like, not
double
the
edict for 5 is alright. Dredge 4. I dig.
Oh, Dredge 5.
Which 5? Oh, man.
It starts at 10.
Whoops.
They unfortunately ruined almost, like, they were so close to really hilarious flavor text and then ruined it in a way that they even made fun of in Unglued that one time where it's a pithy phrase, culture expression meaning the literal thing the card is showing.
Yeah.
Could have just made some little jab about diving lesson. And it would have gone better.
Yeah.
I am stealing right. Diving Lesson as slang, though.
Diving Lesson is pretty good.
Yeah. I do like the art. I like everything but the way they ruined the flavor text. They ruined
it's
it.
So close.
So close.
Their flavor text is pretty bad as a rule.
Mm.
Kind of annoyed with it. I like my flavor text a lot more.
Alright, next up is Necropolis Fiend. 7 and double black for a 4/5 demon with delve and flying. X tap, exile X cards from your graveyard. Target creature gets -X/-X until end of turn.
Also known as the reason that we don't have Tombstalker in set.
We print Tombstalker because
we printed
this guy. By the
way, the explanation for that is hilarious as hell.
Oh yeah, they didn't want non-cat demons.
Right. At first they didn't have like non-cat demons. They're like, okay, I guess we can't print Tombstalker. Mm. And then later on when they did have demons, they forgot that they didn't.
That they wanted like all demons to be cat demons.
Yeah, they forgot why they hadn't put Tombstalker in, and then they had this guy and they're like, well. Whatever.
This guy's a beating.
We forgot why we stopped that card from being here, so we're just gonna pay attention to our previous selves and not think about it all that hard. Now that I'm done venting about not having Tombstalker because of this idiot, he's kind of weak, frankly.
Mm.
He ought to be a 5/5 flying. At least. He's really expensive for that.
Yes.
So either
you're paying a lot because he has that nice ability attached to him, which is repeatable removal.
You pay so much. Like, 2 times at the most. Bah!
And, you know, if you're delving him out, you can't use him to commit murders.
Right. So there's this weird tension between how much you pay for it.
In one code, you've run too many delve cards.
And he's also a big old flyer that you want to be attacking with, but his ability is a tap ability, so he has the Vizar the Dreadful problem. He has every problem, every tension on one card, and that is his fiendishness. Whereas, like, your opponent is going to be beating you to death with Hooting Mandrills in the meantime.
He'd
be like, I got apes, I have no problem.
I got apes for hours. check the clock on the wall. All hands pointing to the word apes.
Apes, apes, apes.
Alright, next up is Grim Horspex. 2 and a black for a 3/2 human wizard. Morph for a black. Whenever another non-token creature you control dies, draw a card.
I dig. Maybe we have good sack outlets in the format.
I do.
I suppose it says non-token just to avoid degenerate stuff.
Yeah, to avoid significant rude scenarios.
Sacrificing goblin tokens for things. I like it. I like it at every cost. You know, morph is fine. 3 mana 3/2s, fine. Small morph cost for the surprise.
Surprise, I get to draw cards off those trades.
It's not even, haha.
Completely
Death
fine.
Toucher gets your guy, and I draw a card. It's cool. It's good.
Next up, are you ready? Are you ready?
I don't know if I'm ready.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready to empty the pits. 4 black XX. It's the mana cost for this instant. With delve, put X22 black zombie creature tokens onto the battlefield tapped.
Okay, so for those of you who have not seen double X in a casting cost before. The way it works is you select a value for X, and then you pay twice that much, and then X is whatever it is. So suppose I cast this spell and I select X as 3.
Yes.
I would pay 10 mana, that's yes. 6 and the 4 black, and get 3 black 2/2 zombie creature tokens. Okay? At that time, I can pay that with any combination of tapping mana and delving cards.
Yes.
Down to the full, like, 6 component that I have selected.
Right.
So at X equals 3, I could delve 6 cards and pay 4 black mana and get my 3 2/2 black zombie creature tokens. What I'm saying is I'm having a hard time making this the right cost.
It's, you know what? Maybe it's always too expensive. And yeah, maybe you don't care.
I guess not.
Because you get to empty the pits.
You get to empty the pits.
You got your... Huh?
You know what? Ooh, if this is bam. The one delve card in your entire deck, I think that'd be all yeah. right.
I frequently think things are going to go the way you... You know, quad black in a such a multicolor heavy set is actually a difficult question.
Mm-hmm.
I have the feeling that people are pretty much always going to choose to empty their graveyard for this card.
I think
if they
so.
Have it.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Yeah, pay as much as you can for this one. This is the, like, multi-kicker version of the mechanic.
Right.
Whereas with everything else, you want to kind of wait and not spend as much and, you know, get it. Tap all the lands that you possibly can.
Definitely.
And then
fire all your guns.
This is...
Ask your opponent how many 2/2s they can deal with.
Yeah. I guess for that, it's doing exactly what it needs to.
Empty the pits.
Quad black.
Quad black. You know what quad black gets me? Phyrexian Obliterator.
Yeah.
The Doom Crusher.
Man.
Alright. Next up is Abomination of Gudul. 3, a black, a green, and a blue. We're onto the multicolored cards now. For a 3/4 horror with flying. Whenever Abomination of Gudul deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. Morph for 2, a black, a green, and a blue. So this is part of the 6-cost, 5-morph common cycle.
Ah, okay. So this is actually how they choose to feed Delve in the set. With looting.
And looting.
Loot.
Not a bad way to feed Delve.
It's a fine way to feed Delve. And so that starts to sound like an actual plan. Now, we'll see it here, and we're going to see it on some other cards. There's more than the usual amount of draw a card, discard a card, which we commonly call looting. The red version of this mechanic, which is worse in every possible way because Wizards hates the color red and always will, I don't know why, is called tooling because it goes in the opposite way.
You discard, then draw.
You discard, then draw, which is just strictly weaker. Oh, as for this guy himself, he's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in the colors, you probably want one of these. He's a common, so he'll show up.
Flies.
Flies, yeah.
4 toughness.
Hell, I might not even morph him. Just be like, whatever. Got my flyer. Yeah. Got my 4 toughness.
A little
man.
Expensive, but hey, common. You know, you can deal with a little.
You know
expensive.
What 4 toughness dies to? Lash of the Whip. That's why that 3/5 is the best creature. The perfect creature. It doesn't die to Lash of the Whip.
You try and crack that whip, and it just
doesn't
gives
work.
The past a slip. Alright, next up is Sultai Soothsayer. Sultai Soothsayer, Sultai Soothsayer, Sultai Soothsayer. 2, a black, a green, and a blue for a 2/5 Naga Shaman. When Sultai Soothsayer enters the battlefield, look at the top 4 cards of your library. Put one of them into your hand and the rest into your graveyard.
Huh. Okay, so 5 mana,
yeah.
Includes blue, has 2 power, draws you a card. Yeah, it's still not, what's it called? Flying fish elemental.
Or the Mole Drifter.
The Mole Drifter.
Okay. Or it's the Mole Drifter.
Yeah, it's not Mole Drifter, but it also doesn't fly. A lot of things aren't Mole Drifter.
It does have 5 toughness.
Does have...
So think about it like this. It's your 5 mana 3/5 where you trade off a point of power to get this, like, dig and get.
Hmm. I don't... I can't just say that I like him. I'm also looking at another card quickly and importantly. Oh. I could not be wrong.
Was that the one you were thinking of?
No, I wasn't thinking of that one. There it is. Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah.
Okay, before I go on talking about that, like, that's a thing. Right. Five toughness.
Five toughness.
I'm trying very hard to like this guy.
Five toughness is a good toughness number to have because four power is a good power number to have. Or a power number that gets cared about.
He puts three things in the yard.
Does. And gets you the best one of those in your hand.
Yeah.
I don't think I want more than one of these.
Probably not. God, I just... When I'm casting five mana creatures, I want them to be able to beat down, you know?
I want them to
Like, five is kind of expensive for an enabler. Even if he does cycle. It's fine. It's a valuable creature. It's just I don't
want. You want action.
I think one is the right number. That's okay.
Next up is Sultai Charm. Part of our Charm Circle.
The Circle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Black, green, and blue for an instant. Choose one. Destroy target monocolored creature. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. Draw two cards, then discard a card.
Pretty good.
Removes things or draw two.
Honestly, a lot of the really problematic creatures are going to be multicolored.
They are.
Not very many of the common ones are.
Yes.
So really, this is saying destroy target common creature. Which is not bad.
And it has other things you can choose to do with it. Like, what if you don't need to board in your enchantment hate?
If they have a huge artifact that you need to blow up, well, you can. For three.
For three.
At instant speed.
That's all right.
Yeah, all the charms are pretty good.
All right. Next up is Death Frenzy. Three, a black and a green for a sorcery. All creatures get -2/-2 until end of turn. Whenever a creature dies this turn, you gain one life.
Hmm. -2/-2, eh? Destroy all morphs.
Destroy all morphs and drink them.
Yeah. That's something to be aware of more than.
Because this is uncommon. So this is going to be appearing. So be careful about going into turn 5 against a black green deck with a board full of face down creatures.
Right. Maybe like hold back on the next morph.
Mm.
Or maybe flip AC/DC's pet. That's all. Be aware of Death Frenzy.
It's got the crocodiles on it. I like any art that features the crocodiles.
You know what? Death Frenzy does it. Kiru Dreadmaw does it. Dead Drop does it. You know, it's river full
good,
of crocodiles.
Good job with crocodiles in this set.
I like that a lot.
I can believe in creatures die when crocodiles show up.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is Villainous Wealth. X, a black, a green, and a blue for a sorcery. Target opponent exiles the top X cards of his or her library. You may cast any number of non-land cards with converted mana cost X or less from among them without paying their mana costs.
So, EDH plant? Like, super hard.
It is. But I think I heard rumors of this being used in some constructed format where you just ramp to, like, so that X is 5 or 6,
mm-hmm.
then play your entire opponent's game plan at them.
I mean, that's okay, but we already basically had that, but better, with our own game plans. And generator...
I know, but this makes your opponent feel bad.
Okay, fine.
Because you get to take it.
Genesis Wave,
yeah.
Yes. So like
well, Genesis Wave was creatures or permanents? This is any spell.
I guess. I don't know. That kind of thing in Constructed is necessarily weaker because you don't know or have control of what your opponent is doing.
Mm.
Where you get to craft your own game plan to actually work with Genesis Wave.
That's fair.
And if
That's
the
fair.
Permanent in that a Genesis Wave includes says, like, pull Genesis Wave back from the yard, it's like, oh, okay. You know, we also had the spell version of that in Is It... the Mad Science Beam or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That also had a like a little constructed
epic experiment.
Epic experiment. And that one was maybe even better simply because it could make use of spells that created creatures.
Mm.
So it got the best of both worlds in that sense.
I like
cards
it.
That rely on your opponent's things.
I like cards that steal my opponent's things.
Bribery this ain't. I like bribery just fine.
Mm.
We have that. We're about money.
We do
reprint
love.
Bribery in Sultai.
Mm. Alright, next up is Sultai Ascendancy. Black, a green, a blue for an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top two cards of your library. Put any number of them into your graveyard and the rest back on top of your library in any order.
Snore!
No second ability. All of the other ascendancies have two abilities.
Don't care about this one. I think it's worse in every possible way than all the other ascendancies that we've looked at.
Mm, what makes you say that?
Well, this is just a Delve Enabler. Okay, minor draw filtering, whatever. That's like... It's pretty obviously there to fuel Delve.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do anything. It actually doesn't do anything. This is card neutral forever. Also, the art is worse. Thinking
Not
back
a fan
to,
of the art. No
back
crocodiles?
To Jeskai Ascendancy. This could have had crocodiles on it. Maybe, like, okay, a guy in front... would be like, yo, I got this crocodile
yeah, like,
on a leash. What do you got?
You don't want to mess with me, pal. This crocodile
maybe,
understands my
what?
Instructions.
Maybe they're like pointing to a pit that is full of crocodiles.
Yeah.
They're like, look.
Like off screen.
We ascend by putting you in the pit.
By you descending.
Yep.
Into the pit.
We're still up here.
With a crocodile side.
Yeah, I don't like this one. I don't think anyone should ever play
it
in any format.
Next up. Rakshasa Vizier. There's no such thing as a good vizier. Two, a black, a green, and a blue for a 4/4 cat demon. Whenever one or more cards are put into exile from your graveyard, put that many +1/+1 counters on Rakshasa Vizier. So here's your 5 mana creature.
Boring. He's cheap beef.
He is.
And he's not all that cheap even.
Mid-cost beef. It can become very beefy, though.
Yeah, I suppose.
Alright. Next up is True Fire... I mean, Rakshasa Death Dealer. Black and a green for a 2/2 cat demon. Two activated abilities. Black, green, Rakshasa Death Dealer gets +2/+2 until end of turn. And black, green, regenerate Rakshasa Death Dealer.
Right. True Fire Champion was unbeatable. That guy was insane, and he always worked, and he always got in and did things, and he was great. He attacked and blocked. He was an uncommon. I think he was an uncommon.
I think so, yeah.
Jeez, he couldn't have been a rare.
I played
Maybe.
With too many of them
yeah,
for them to be
I know,
uncommons.
Right? We were just always
and I was like, oh, we Boros tonight.
Yeah, this guy ain't that.
No.
Chiefly because, okay, for one, black-green is not an aggro color. That's basically it. Also, he's rare.
He's rare. I do like him, though.
Kind of good. I mean, he starts life as a bear, and then...
scales up, resists some forms of removal.
Mm-hmm.
So...
oh, also, you get to sink as much mana as possible into him. Did I mention that he's not a root wall? He just
yeah. You can just keep pumping.
Yeah! That starts to look kind of good.
Maybe pick up one or two of these to shove into my, like, just mishmash black-green, here are some good creatures there.
Right, so how about this? 2-mana, 2/2, unblockable, indestructible. That sounds great, right? Like, you'd play
I
that
can
every
break
time.
That, I will break that card. Someone is going to break that card in half.
Well, I mean, it would just be, like, way too good for its cost. And this guy is almost that. Because, like, okay, you attack with him. You do have the open mana to activate him. No one's blocking that. He's unblockable. No one's aiming a kill spell at him either. He's indestructible. So because you have this, like, obvious trick on board, that's what effectively this guy is a lot of the time.
Yeah. You know, if you pull your own pants down, of course, that stops working.
Yeah, but I mean, clearly. But, you know, when it's most important, that is, during the eclaired attackers.
Now I really want an eclair.
The eclair detractors step, you
detract. That guy hates eclairs.
He's great. Good rare.
Good rare. Good slam. Slam you a 2-mana 2/2. Next up is Keru Lichlord. 3, a black, a green, and a blue for a 4/4 zombie wizard. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may pay 2 and a black. If you do, return a creature card at random from your graveyard to the battlefield. It gains flying, trample, and haste. Exile that card at the beginning of your next end step. If it would leave the battlefield, exile it instead of putting it anywhere else.
Right. This guy is miserable and awful and terrible and plagiarizing and weak. Cedrus Traitor King. Tell me how you really feel. Cedrus the Traitor King exists. This guy is a strictly weaker, strictly worse, strictly uglier version of him. And I liked Cedrus a lot, and Cedrus is okay. He was never very strong, but he was stronger than this.
Womp womp.
They get flying and trample too. No one cares. No one cares if your AC/DC's pet suddenly flies and tramples. Oh yeah, my one power trample. Also, you can only do it once a turn.
That's correct.
This guy is so goddamn bad. Also, he has like a built-in claw. You can't even abuse this, by the way.
You can't be sneaky with it. Well, I mean, they bake that into every one of these.
They do. But I figured if it's going to be that weak, may as well, like, leave the back door open for fun combos to happen. Oh, but if he exiles, then Rakshasa Vizier will get the exiles from the graveyard, bud. Instead.
Replacement effect. Vizier never sees it hit the grave. Because
like,
it doesn't.
No, give me my skulls.
Yeah, but look, Rakshasa Vizier loves that skull.
Love that skull, and I will definitely give you the illustration on that.
I respect this guy because, like me, he's just a skull enthusiast. But our last card... Our last card is, of course, the leader.
Leader.
It's AC/DC.
AC/DC.
Brood Tyrant. 1, a black, a blue, and a green for a 3/3 legendary Naga Shaman. Whenever AC/DC Brood Tyrant enters the battlefield or attacks, put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard. Whenever 1 or more creature cards are put into your graveyard from your library, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield.
Yeah!
You seem enthusiastic about this one. You were a lot more restrained about the, you know, a lot less enthused about previous codes, but you seem to like this one.
This is good because Golgari Grave Troll exists.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Importantly, it'll only get 1 zombie off of that.
Wait, really? Yes. 1 or more? Never mind. This thing is garbage.
Yeah.
Okay. Crap.
They thought about that.
Screw one. You. Screw you guys.
Which means...
never gonna have fun with your new cards.
Like, milling yourself 1 at a time becomes the sort of optimal thing to do with her.
Man, that's miserable. So I guess instead of that, we use the Shuko technology. Like Cephalid Breakfast stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The Shuko plus Target Man does a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cephalid Looter.
Was it just Cephalid Looter?
Might have been.
But anyway, yeah.
Combo piece.
Right, that would allow you to do the mill in tiny little chunks, and then you'd be able to, like, get tons of zombies with this. Does it just... Yeah, they're just on the battlefield.
Here's
great.
A rules question.
Yep.
With an effect like, say, Sultai Soothsayer, that says, you know, look at the top four codes of your library, put one into your hand and the rest into your graveyard, does that trigger AC/DC?
It absolutely does, because when you're looking at cards from your library, they do not change zones. You are looking at the library. Okay. So they go from library to graveyard, so that's the trigger condition.
Yeah, there's
for
no looking at card zone.
Right. Except in Magic the Gathering Online, which they kind of have to functionally do, so the cards temporarily enter a fake zone, sometimes simply called temporary zone.
Or new game zone.
Right.
This is mostly for software purposes,
that's
not for game
just for
purposes.
Software game rules, it will still like go from library to grave. So that counts. That's okay. Doesn't AC/DC doesn't care if you looked at them before, I guess, is the takeaway there. Okay, that all out of the way. AC/DC is just fine. Probably something you want to be casting. I'd first pick it. I don't even care. Like, okay, like, a lot of the Delve cards suddenly look more attractive or better. And even if not, it has its own little built-in plan to it, where it's like, okay, 4 mana for a 3/3 and a 2/2.
You know,
that's decent.
Maybe not, you know, fabulously mythic, but efficient.
Yeah. That's what I miss out of mythics, frankly. I'd rather have an efficient card every now and then, rather than, like, every last one of them being huge, splashy, bombo, huge man. So what do you think of the Sidisi Brood? I mean, the Sultai Brood.
What do I think of the Pillarman Brood? I feel like the Delve creatures, on the whole, are pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
Which, unfortunately, doesn't really take to actually playing Sultai. Because then you're in all three colors of Delve, and then you have to, like, be like, well, I guess I can't pick this good Delve creature that came by because I have too many. I'd much rather be in just two or one of these colors and steal all these efficient creatures at common. That said, they do it. They got that primo removal. They got crocodiles. They have some cards that sort of appeal to my ways that I like to play Magic the Gathering. You know, maybe these colors are sort of a good match for what I like to do. Which I think says some bad stuff about me as a person.
Well, we're not full on Phyrexian with that. We just have like a couple guys who like throwing people in crocodile pits.
Yeah.
And then some cat demons.
And then we fish out their wallets.
We do fish out their wallets, actually. The treasure cruise.
Yeah.
No, on top of that, we also have cats.
Cats.
Who, like we like to do, collect skulls.
Skulls.